Plenty of rumors with the Indianapolis Colts acquiring Legarius Sneed over the weekend. He's a cornerback. He's a good cornerback from the Chiefs. It would cost a lot of money to sign him to an extension, and it would cost draft capital that Chris Ballard is loath to relinquish. That's why this trade, like, despite all the chatter, all the smoke, I don't think there's any fire. This is a really unlike Chris Ballard thing to do. Not saying it's necessarily a terrible trade or somehow not in the best interest of the Colts long term or short term, but man, this is a this would not be a Ballard move given his kind of predisposal toward building from the inside out. Think about what Chris Ballard has done during 7 off seasons. He has not made a deal like this. Not anything close. Sure, for DeForest Buckner, but not for a cornerback when you've got a really kind of, you got a draft with a lot of corners that are going to be able to play or at least project to be able to play. We'll talk about the potential for a Legarius Sneed deal. We'll talk about Indiana University. They lost Friday out of the Big Ten tournament, said immediately thereafter that they are not going to accept an invitation to the NIT. I'm not sure one would have been forthcoming, to tell you the truth. We'll talk about that. Where is Indiana basketball? Purdue, a one seed again, is crazy. Isaiah Cox. You know what? Is it? Purdue's pretty good. I know what you meant, but I think that Purdue is very, very worthy of a number one seed, and we'll talk about their path potentially to the Final Four, which is, Jay Billis says, it's the easiest among all the one seeds, and I agree. But, man, you got a lot of teams that can play in this tournament. We always think, like Seth Davis on CBS, oh, he goes chalk. The one seeds, it's got to be Houston and Purdue and blah, blah, blah. I'll bet you one seed makes the Final Four. I hope it's Purdue, to tell you the truth. I'd like Purdue to get to the Final Four. We'll talk about Indiana basketball, the state of IU basketball. Where is it headed? What is Mike Woodson going to do in lieu of going to the NIT? We'll talk about that. The IU women, they got a 4 seed, so they're going to be able to host the first 2 games of its hopefully long NCAA tournament run. But one piece of bad news, they're in the same region as South Carolina. Have you watched South Carolina play basketball? Wow. They get off the team bus, you're like, what? We got to play against them? They're like what the Baltimore Ravens are to the NFL. South Carolina, the Gamecocks, are to women's college basketball. Pacers, Cavs, tonight, 7 o'clock, big game for the Blue and Gold. We'll talk about that, too. This is Breakfast with Kent for Monday, March 18th, 2024, brought to you by the great people at MyBookie. Look, you sign up now and take advantage of the generous welcome offer to score a massive first deposit bonus of up to $1,000. All you have to do is claim promo code KENT. Easy to remember, easy to spell. The best part about MyBookie, you can bet on anything, anytime, from anywhere. Again, use the promo code KENT. All your March Madness acumen, all that intellect, all that wisdom about college basketball, put it to work for you. Let's go at MyBookie. Make sure and subscribe to this channel. Make sure and like this video. And if you want to make a donation, make a donation. No big whoop. Let's go. By the way, liking the video is just polite. I like all the videos I watch, every single one. All right, let's talk about Legarius Sneed and the potential of Sneed coming to the Indianapolis Colts. I don't think it's going to happen because past is prologue. You look at the track record of Chris Ballard over his first 7 off seasons. He made one trade that is similar to this one, where you acquire for substantial draft capital and you sign a guy to an extension. This kind of sign and trade he has executed once, and that was with DeForest Buckner, who is that guy in the middle of that defensive line that Chris Ballard absolutely coveted. He builds from the inside out. Cornerbacks, Legarius Sneed, he's an outside corner. And to tell you, he hadn't played in a Pro Bowl. Like, I like Legarius Sneed, But I think that his fame, because of the Chiefs and their Super Bowl win, I think his fame kind of outstrips his productivity. He's a really good cornerback. He sticks his nose in there. He gets a lot of tackles, that kind of thing. But you know what? This, you're never going to give up a one, right? If you give up a 2025-2, now you're talking a little bit. But if it's going to be a three-year, like it's been rumored to the Vikings, 3 years, $45 million. The Chiefs franchised him. It's the draft capital that I just don't see making sense, especially given the fact that they ponied up the second-round pick last year for Juju Brents, and they've got that 46 overall pick. They've got 15, too. You're going to be able to go get a starting corner. I would love to see them check that box without using a pick, but if you're going to use a pick to go get L'Jarius Sneed, why not use that pick to go take a rookie and keep him under contract for the first 4 years of his career at a really manageable price? It just kind of doesn't make sense to me. It is a very non-Chris Ballard move to make, and so I think it's all smoke, no fire. Again, I mean, you know what? He hadn't been to a Pro Bowl. Not that that's like the be-all, end-all of honors, but what are we talking about here with L'Jarius Sneed? This is not one of the best, one of the elite-level corners in the NFL. He's good, but he's not elite. He's okay. He's better than what the Colts have got, but the Colts have the draft capital to be able to go out and get potentially better. L'Jarius Sneed was a fourth-round draft pick. So go get a guy who can play at that level. Use your scouts, use your front office to go get L'Jarius Sneed, but have him under control as a rookie instead of giving up draft capital that you could use on him. Does that make sense? Everybody's getting their panties in a bunch over L'Jarius Sneed. I just kind of don't get it. Purdue, the only Indiana program in the NCAA tournament. They're a one seed. Their path, not too terribly difficult, especially the first two rounds in Indianapolis. But we know, like, none of these teams are. Hey, was Fairleigh Dickinson a team that Purdue thought, hey, we're going to get beat by this team? Or St. Peter's a few years ago? Or North Texas? You know, they're on scholarship too. So don't take lightly Grambling or Montana State. How do you not take lightly Grambling or Montana State? Are you kidding me? And then they've got the winner of Utah State and TCU, and then one of these teams, Kansas, Gonzaga, McNeese, and Samford. You win those three games, you're in the Elite Eight, and Purdue should win all three of those games. Then it gets kind of murky. Once you get to the Elite Eight, it's a little bit more difficult to stay alive in the tournament. There's a chance that you have a bad game. There's a chance that people gunning for you, they figure out finally the way to take away Zach Edey. I think it's a good thing ultimately that Purdue lost in the Big Ten tournament over the weekend in the semifinals to Illinois. It kept them from wearing the rubber completely off their tires. I think it's a good thing that Purdue got beat. They tend to do this. They tend to win six or seven games and then lose a game, then win six or seven, then lose a game. Then I think they won nine, then they lose a game. Now they're on, are they on their way to another six-game winning streak? We'll see. We're hoping for Purdue. Of course, if Purdue's playing Indiana, we root for Indiana. And then during that period of time, we mock Purdue. But right now, we're rooting for Purdue because we like Matt Painter, and I really like the way he's constructed this team. Indiana. Oh, let's talk about Indiana State for a minute. Look, you beat Drake, none of this happens. You know, did he get jobbed with a net rating that ranks 29th? Sure. And is it your fault? Like the chairman of the selection committee said, Indiana State didn't get in because their non-conference schedule wasn't strong enough. Well, nobody is going to play Indiana State non-conference. No one. They're going to have to play more patty cakes because, number one, they're not going to be able to host anybody. and they don't want to go on the road over and over again, and nobody wants to play them anyway. So how in the hell are they, what is their path to being an at-large team in the NCAA tournament? Valid questions. But the valid response is, hey, beat Drake. They're a 10 seed. All right, if you can't beat Drake, how do you make a case that you belong in this tournament? That's a valid argument against Indiana State getting in there. I would have loved to have seen Indiana State get into the tournament, but you know what? They lost in Arch Madness, and as a result, out and into the NIT. IU basketball, they're a mess. They don't know who they're going to be able to retain. That is Khalil Ware gone? We know Xavier Johnson and Anthony Walker are gone. Who else is going to leave? We'll see. This is a program without any players whatsoever in the recruiting pipeline. That's not a good place to be. They don't want to compete in the NIT, and I can tell you why real easy. Mike Davis wasn't fired until 2006, and it was by a guy who was two ADs ago. But the apathy surrounding the program that was displayed in a home NIT game in 2005, that kind of led to Mike Davis's dismissal. Then in 2017, Tom Crean goes to the NIT. Indiana doesn't want to host that game because they don't want 3,500 people in Assembly Hall. So they go to Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech beats Indiana, and it's adios to Tom Crean. You don't think that Mike Woodson sees this, understands this, and is saying, you know what, playing in the NIT and losing in the NIT gets coaches fired up in here. I don't want any part of that. Of course he does. And who can blame him? So he says he's going to go out and he's going to start recruiting, focus on recruiting. Well, what the hell have you been focused on? Why haven't you been focused on recruiting? You got 78 assistant coaches, for God's sake. Go get guys. How hard is this? So, Indiana, plus, Tom Crean yesterday, I absolutely agreed with him on ESPN. So I had to kind of go into my head and say, all right, I'm agreeing with Tom Crean. Is there something wrong with the way I'm thinking? Do I need to adjust my thinking? Because now a man that I disagree with quite a bit agrees with me. I don't think so. Tom Crean was adamant that teams should continue to compete for as long as they can. And that means playing in the NIT. Not playing in the NIT. Hey, it's the one thing that Mike Woodson has won. Indiana won the 1979 NIT. That kind of set up IU, although Isaiah Thomas coming in as a freshman, that helped. The 1980 team that went to the Sweet 16 lost to Purdue, by the way. Last time that Purdue went to a Final Four, of course, we've got to mention that today. And then the following year in 81, without Woodson, that core, the core of the team, 79 and 80, they won the national championship. So playing in the NIT, not more basketball has got to be better, right? You can always train, you can always recruit. Well, maybe not. Indiana's got problems because they can't shoot. Indiana from the line, 66.4%, despite 13 of 13 from the line against Nebraska. That was kind of odd. They ranked 334th, by the way, in foul shooting accuracy. Three-pointers, 32.4%. That's number 255. You can't win that way. Their offensive efficiency ranked 106. Defensive efficiency, 85th. Returning Galloway Leal, we know that. Gunn, Banks, Cups, Mbako, Renew, we have no idea. We assume that Ware, whose average draft mock draft area, 24th. So they've got him as a late first-round pick. If he's late first-round, you bounce because you want to start the clock toward that second contract quickly. And people compare him to Miles Turner, and people take it as an insult. Miles Turner's made $120 million in the NBA, and he turns 28 like this week. So what are we talking about here? Pacers, speaking of the Pacers, they play against Cavs tonight at Cambridge Fieldhouse, 7 o'clock. Then a road trip for 5 against the Pistons, Warriors, Lakers, Clippers, and Bulls. Yikes. We'll see what that means for that for them. The portal, it opens today. So Indiana can go out, throw some NIL money around, try to cobble together a team. This thing's falling apart. We'll see if Woody can put it back together or not and save his job, because another year like this year and at the end of next year, it's ta-ta to Mike Woodson. Experiment, failure, admitted, and moving on. Let's celebrate some birthdays, shall we? Chris Winkler, happy birthday. Mark Wenning, happy birthday. Sean Walters, Bev Bowen, Danny Rinker, Jim Nixon, Linda Allen Lay, happy birthday. The great Vice Simpson, kidding me, state senator. Brian Pointer, former senator. I don't know if she's still a state senator. I don't think so. Catherine Bailey, Scott Newland, Reggie Mathis, and William Buck. Happy birthday. If today's your birthday, you celebrate like hell. If it's not your birthday, you celebrate somebody else. That's best done with an honest and specific compliment. Lift each other. Don't pull each other down. For those joining live, I don't think Legarius Sneed is going to be a Colt. It doesn't make sense. Given that, not that the deal wouldn't necessarily make sense or make the Colts better, but in Chris Ballard's world, it just doesn't make sense. Going to be on with Dan today at 2 o'clock, Mondays at 2, always the Dan Dockett Show on Indy Sports Ticket 1430. My radio show coming up in moments on WGCL Radio in Bloomington. It's 1370, 98.7, WGCLRadio.com.